Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Church say amen again. Amen. One more time for the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord is good, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
How many of you know the Lord is good? His mercy does endure forever. And you ought to praise him while you still got a little bit of breath in your body. If he's been good to you, somebody ought to say thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That praise, that phrase, hallelujah, means we praise God collectively. And so we all have something to give God glory and praise about. Amen. Won't you stand to your feet and turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Matthew. Amen. The Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter number 16. I want you to give these men a big hand of encouragement. They came ready to sing for the glory of the Lord. Amen. 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 I should have asked you to give the praise offering before you stood with your Bible in your hand. That was a half-hearted clap. But I'm going to assume everybody's hands were full. Amen. With their Bible in their hand. But we thank the Lord for these men. We praise God for them. When you've located Matthew 16, say amen. I want to start reading at verse number 13. Matthew chapter number 16 and starting in verse number 13. The Bible reads, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And he said to them, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Then he commanded his disciples that they should tell no one that he was Jesus the Christ. Here ends the reading of God's divine and eternal word. May it edify, may it sanctify the people of God. I would that you pray with me on the title of today's sermon, Standing on a Strong Foundation. Standing on a strong foundation. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart will indeed be acceptable in your eyesight. Lord, you who are our strength, and Lord, you who are our Redeemer. I pray now, Lord, that the anointing of the Most High God would fall fresh in this place, that somebody's mind would be illuminated, somebody's heart would be encouraged, and ultimately somebody's soul would be convicted. Have your way in this service today, that we may leave here changed, better than when we came in. This is our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray it. Let the saints of God, the redeemed of the Lord, say together, amen, amen and amen. You may be seated. This is my new summer dress down look. No mustache, no hair on the face. Amen. So we thank the Lord for his keeping power. When I was a kid growing up in L.A., I didn't realize that the ground constantly shook underneath my feet. Didn't realize that earthquakes and tremblers were really happening every day. As a kid growing up in L.A., we practiced the drop, stop, drop, and tuck under a desk exercise where we would, in the event of a eventful tremor, would jump under a desk and simply pray that nothing heavy fell on the desk. that would then crush the desk and those under the desk. We were either told to get in the hall, get in the doorway, the stronger part of the building, or get under the desk. And so when I came to New Jersey, back in L.A., I survived. I was a kid, didn't know it then, but the 1971 Sylmar earthquake and later the 1991 earthquake, I was in Northern California, but I was in college during the 1989 Loma Prieta earthquake, the earthquake that shook the Bay Area when the world was watching the World Series and kind of shook the world to a halt, at least those of us in the Bay Area. And so it was that earthquakes is a normal part of any kid's life growing up in the Ring of Fire. They call it the Ring of Fire, Japan, all the way up to Alaska, down the Alaskan coast, the Canadian west coast, all the way down the Pacific west coast of the United States, all the way down into Mexico and into the Central America and up around the Oceanic countries. This Ring of Fire was constantly moving and constantly shaking. And so even though we didn't associate it as such, we had to grow accustomed to living with the ground constantly shifting under your feet. When I came east to New Jersey in 1995, this is my 20th year being in New Jersey, I was glad. I said, I've come to a place where there are no earthquakes, there are no hurricanes, there are no floods, and there are no tornadoes. And within about a year, we had an earthquake, a flood, a hurricane, and a tornado. And I said, I'm not going back to L.A., and I can't stay here. But it was an interesting moment, and just looking at God's divine movement, one can never run away from whatever God has in our lives. You got to just face what it is that God is putting in our way. And so all of that is to say, by way of introduction, that today I want to talk about what it means for us to stand on a sure foundation with the rock of God being under our feet. The world in which we live is constantly changing. It is constantly morphing. It is constantly moving. And I believe that we who are people of faith must learn how to adjust to the tremblers and the earthquakes in our lives that shift us and cause us to be afraid. Point of fact, one of the most fearful things about earthquakes growing up in L.A. isn't necessarily the earthquake, but it's the aftershocks after the earthquake that causes, it plays with your mind. Because just when you think everything was all right, here comes another trembler. Just when you thought it was safe to go back in the house, Brother Vince, here comes another movement. And so you are then living in a period of uneasiness, not knowing when the next trembler is going to come. Well, life is almost similar to that, and yet I would challenge us that when we have earthquakes in our lives and when we have movement of the foundation under our feet, that we come to the conclusion that we cannot be afraid because God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of love, power, and of a sound mind. So what does it mean to keep going when the ground is shifting under your very feet? Now, I'm using metaphor, of course. I'm using hyperbole, of course. And yet, the reality is all of us have experienced some kind of earthquake in our lives. And the fact of the matter is all of us have had to deal with the aftershocks of the earthquake that actually might not be as bad as the event itself, but actually causes us more harm than the actual event itself. And so I want to challenge us today to think about what it means to stand on a sure foundation. We know the song that we sing so often in the church, "On Christ the solid rock I stand, while all of the ground is sinking sand. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, while all of the ground is sinking sand. I do want us to come to the conclusion that unless you are standing on the sure foundation of Jesus, your Christ, then you are standing in a place where you will be constantly moving, constantly shifting, constantly dancing, constantly jumping, constantly worried about what's next going to happen. And I would challenge you to say, that's no way to live your life. David said, yea, though I walk through the valleys of the shadows of death, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me. I won't be afraid because you're with me. I won't run away because you're right there with me. Do I have a witness here this morning? I won't turn my back because I know that God is right there with me. I won't put my head in the sand in particular like I don't see what I'm looking at. I can't just tuck and run. I can't just tuck and hide. I can't just put my head under my desk and pretend like it's going to go away and just wait it out. Because the reality is, until I walk by faith and not by sight, I'm never going to realize what God has for me. And that goes for every single one of us here in the sanctuary today. I want to use that again as the backdrop and introduction to the text today, in which Jesus finds himself walking with his disciples. In point of fact, in verse number 13, the Bible says, he then came to a new region called Caesarea Philippi. And it says there in verse 13, while he was in Caesarea Philippi, that he began to ask his disciples a question. And so the first C word that I want to talk about is the word chatter. And point of fact, let me just go back a moment and give you the three words that I want to use to anchor and frame today's sermon. I want to talk about chatter. I want to talk about Christos. And then I want to talk about church. Because in the Bible, in the text itself, the word chatter is not mentioned, but it is strongly inferred. Why do I say that? Because if you look again in verse number 13, Jesus says to his disciples, who do people say that I am? And part of fact, I think you can reframe it by saying, what's the latest gossip on the street about me? I think he can say, what are the homies saying about me behind my back? If I can just use the urban vernacular, what are the homegirls and the homeboys talking at the water fountain, at the water cooler? What are they saying about me? It's interesting because, truth be told, all of us fall into that interesting trap of being more concerned about what other folk think about you than being more concerned about what God thinks about you. And point of fact, maybe I can just put in the middle what you ought to be thinking about you, and then ultimately what God thinks about you. And if I had to choose, I'm going to put number one, I better be concerned about what God is thinking about me. I better be concerned about what God is saying about me. And then that informs what I say about myself. And lastly, I should be concerned about what other people are saying about me. But how many of you know some friends or some family members who really do live their lives based on other people's press reports and opinion polls about them? I want to be concerned that so-and-so thinks this way about me, or I got to hold up this kind of image, or I can't go to work looking that way, or I got to make sure my hair is all right, or I got to make sure this is in place, or that is in place. And if you go about living your life based on what other people think about you, you will never be settled in your spirit. Because as sure as there is one opinion, there's going to be 5 and 15 opinions. And you've got to decide whose opinion am I really going to try to live up to. And part of fact, this thing gets so deep that you got to take a step back and say, am I that concerned about what my coworkers think about me? No. Am I concerned about what my family thinks about me? Am I concerned about what my wife or my spouse thinks about me? Am I concerned about what my children think about me? You absolutely ought to be concerned about the closeness of your circle, the people who really do have your best interest in mind, the people who really are there to help you. Because if you live your life based on what the general Joe Blow public has to say about you, you will never fulfill your happiness or the joy that God has purpose in your life. Do I have a witness here this morning? Can anybody testify that you used to live based on what other folk think, but you came to a point that you said in your mind, self, why am I so concerned about what so-and-so thinks about me? In point of fact, I better be concerned about what God thinks about me. And so Jesus, although for a very different reason, asked about the chatter in the neighborhood. Let me say one other thing about chatter. You know there's always going to be chatter. So you might as well get used to the chatter. And part of that, if the better you doing, the more chatter you might get. Because human nature is such that rarely do we really want to see folk do better than us. And so when folks start to excel or rise or get better or achieve their purpose and walk in the newness of life, there are always going to be some folk who start chattering. Amen. The Bible tells us that when Moses was trying to lead the people of God out of the wilderness, that the people started to chatter about the reality of his leadership. And so I just made up in my mind, I gotta get used to living with the chatter. But if you can keep your eyes on the master while the folk are chattering, then the chatter won't get to you because the master has captured your attention. And if the master has captured your attention, it really does not matter what the chatter is all about. If I can just say it this way, even in the church, there's going to be some chatterers. I would that there would all be worshipers in the church. I would that there would all be praisers in the church. I would that there would all be singers in the church. But every now and again, a chatterer slips through the door. But you need to say, chatterer, I've not come here to chatter. I've come here to worship. I didn't come here to chatter. I've come here to praise. I didn't come here to chatter. I came to lift up the name of Jesus. Can anybody stop the chatter and start lifting up Jesus? Can anybody stop the chatter and start worshiping the master? Does anybody have a spirit of thanksgiving in their praise that it does not matter what the chatter is, but what matter is your worship of God? Amen, somebody. Jesus says, what's the latest chatter about me on the streets? On the dusty roads of Caesarea. Verse 14 says that they begin to answer. Some said John the Baptist. You're John. He's John the Baptist. Others said Elijah the prophet. Some others said Jeremiah the prophet. Or one of the other prophets. And so the disciples were in tune with what the people said. Now I wrestle with this because Brother Aaron, I wonder if those who were following Jesus were too concerned about what the folk were saying about him as opposed to what really was at the core of the matter. I wonder what would have happened if they said, Jesus, I really don't know what the homies are saying on the street, because in my opinion, it really doesn't matter and I'm not that in tune with the chatter. And so I wrestle with, do we need to be aware of the chatter, but not buy into the chatter? Or do we dismiss the chatterers altogether and give them the hand as if it really doesn't matter, I'm not listening to it? And so I go back and forth sometimes that it's good for us to have our ear to the ground. But if your ear is to the ground and you're more concerned about what other folk are saying about your church or your pastor or your ministry or your situation, and I'm not talking about necessarily you, but the people around you, one needs to ask the question, who are you hanging around with? Who is in your inner circle? What kind of access do they have in the name of the Lord Jesus? Nonetheless, the disciples said, here's what they're saying about you, Master. Then Jesus hits them with the most important question. Verse 15 says to them, I understand what they say, but now I want to know what you say. Who do you say that I am? Not what are they saying about me. In verse number 13, who do men say that I am? Who do you say that I am? Brings me then to the second point, which is this word Christos. Peter quickly, seemingly in the text, quickly chimes in over the other disciples, and Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter's answer in Greek is that you are the Christos. In Greek, the word Christos is the Greek transliteration of the word Messiah. So therefore, when Peter says, you are the Christos, you're the anointed one. You're the one we've been waiting for. You're the one the prophets talked about. You're the one that we've been praying about. You're the one that's going to make a difference in our lives. You're the one that's going to move the mountain out of our way. You're the one that's going to open the door that the other folks shut. You're the one that's going to remove the chains off our neck. You're the one that's going to throw off the heavy yoke of oppression of the Romans. You're the one that the Bible has talked about. You're the one. And I just want to stop by today to make sure that all of us caught what Peter said. You're the one. Because if we all caught what Peter said, then all of us would be in a better place than we are. If all of us can say what Peter said, Master, you're the one. You're the one I'm leaning on. You're the one I'm depending on. You're the one I'm hoping in. You're the one I'm lifting up to the hills. You're the one that I can believe can open doors that no man can shut. You're the one that can give me a brand new job. You're the one that can heal my body. You're the one that can make a way out of no way. Do I have a witness here today? Does anybody see Jesus the way Peter saw Jesus? It doesn't matter what they say. What do I know? I'm saying you're the one because I've walked with you. I know you're the one because I've watched you heal broken bodies. I've watched you heal and make multiply the bread and the fish. I've watched what you've done. I'm not telling you what I heard. I'm telling you what I know. And right there is the most important part of Peter's response. I'm telling you what I know. Peter was part of three disciples that had special access to Jesus. Peter, James, and John, Mount of Transfiguration. Peter, James, and John, Garden of Gethsemane. Peter, James, and John, and the list goes on. It's no wonder that Peter writes a couple of books in the New Testament. It's no wonder that John writes five books in the New Testament. It's not John the Baptist. It's John, Peter, James, and John. James and John, the sons of thunder, the sons of Zebedee. We look in this text and we see the evidence and the fruit of what they came to know as the Christos. John could have chimed in and said, I think you're the Christos. And point of fact, I always find it interesting that John didn't give that answer, because John's whole gospel is written that we may know that Jesus is the Christ. That's why John writes. But Peter, the impetuous one. Peter, the one who is always trying to get out front of the crowd. Peter, who is excited for good reasons and excited for bad. Peter chimes in and says, you're the Christos. You're the one. Jesus answers Peter. He says, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. Interesting that Jesus did not say, blessed are you, Peter. Because point of fact, what he was about to do was do a play on words. Blessed are you, Simon, first name, Bar, descriptive phrase to describe who Peter is, which is son in Hebrew. Simon Bar Jonah, the son of Jonah. So Jesus almost uses his full name. You all hear me say sometimes when I talk to Patricia Ann Hood and Betty Louise Young, if I find out your middle name, don't tell me. I'm going to find it. I'm going to talk to you. I'm going to say it. Keep your middle name away from me. I'm going to say it. It's something about saying full names. It gets one's attention. You know when you were a kid. Daryl, come on in the house. Daryl, I said come in the house. Daryl LaRue Armstrong, get in this house. You better perk up when mama, grandmama, big mama uses your middle name. He says, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. Flesh and blood did not reveal this to you. But my Father who is in heaven has revealed this to you. And he goes on to say in verse 18, he goes on to say, and also say to you that you are Peter. In English, you don't get the flavor of it. In Peter, in English, it's you are Petros, and upon this rock, Petros, I will build my church. It's a play on words because in Greek, the word for rock is Peter. And so what Jesus is saying, Peter, I want you to call you by your full name. But the reason I'm doing that is because I need you to understand that I'm giving you a new identity today. You're not Petros, you are Peter the rock, and upon the rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail. And I'm so glad Jesus gave Peter a brand new identity, because sometimes when I'm going through my trials and my tribulations, I begin to believe what the world is saying about me, and oftentimes what the world is saying doesn't live up to what God is saying. And so sometimes the world is going to call you all kind of names. Sometimes the world is going to make you feel like you're less than who you really are. Sometimes the world is going to try to rob you of your dignity and rob you of your joy. And sometimes the world is going to try to make you feel worse off than you really ought to feel. Sometimes the world is going to beat you down that you don't feel like getting back up. But I'm so glad today that Jesus gives me a new identity. I'm so glad today that Jesus said, Peter, you're going to have a new name. And he says, Peter, your new name is Petros, and upon this rock shall I build my church. I'm so glad today that when I'm feeling lonely and feeling lost, that God reminds me of who I really am. You're more than a conqueror. You're chosen and a child of God. I'm reminding you today that I died for you. I made a way for you. I'm reminding you today that you're better than what you think you are. You're stronger than what you think you are. Am I talking to anybody today? Stop listening to the chatter. Stop listening to the world. Start listening to the master. What is the master saying about you? Is the master trying to pick you up? Is the master trying to lift you up? Is the master trying to put the devil back? Because he says, upon this rock, I will establish my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail. And it just simply lets me know that try as the devil might, he can't rob me of my joy. Try as the devil might, he can't take what God has deposited within me. Try what as the devil might, he can talk about you. He can make, try to blow some stuff at you. But if you really know who you are, you're able to plant your feet on solid ground. The winds may blow, the waters may rise, the enemies may come, but as long as you're standing on the rock. Is anybody standing on the rock today? If you haven't put it together, I need you to know that the rock is Jesus Christ. And I'm so glad today that when the devil tries to get the best of me, the Bible says you're standing on the rock. And the devil's going to try to get you. But as long as you stand on solid ground, I will protect you. I will mold you. I will lift you. I will secure you. I will anchor you. Do I have a witness here today? Has the Lord done it for anybody in the sanctuary? If you keep standing on the rock, if you keep standing on the rock, God will make a way when you don't even understand the way. And I've concluded in my life, I've stopped trying to figure out how to get out of certain situations, some of which I got myself into, truth be told. So I've stopped trying to figure out and just understood that I've got to repent when I've made my mistakes. Say, Father, I'm sorry. Forgive me for my sin. But every now and again, I've not done anything to anybody. Every now and again, I'm just minding my own business. Every now and again, I'm just trying to get my praise on and keep my eyes looked up to the hills from whence cometh my... Every now and again, I'm just entering to the gates to lift him up and to worship him. Every now and again, I'm just trying to go to Bible study. Every now and again, I'm just trying to get to choir rehearsal. That's all. Every now and again, I'm just trying to keep my mind stayed on Jesus. And for some reason, I find myself in a predicament and in a circumstance. An earthquake has shaken my world. But when the earthquakes come, I need to remind myself that even though the world is shifting all around me, that I'm standing on the rock that God said, I'll be there when nobody else is there. I'll lift you when nobody else is there. And I'll pick you up when everybody else is trying to tear you down. And I believe that what God told Peter is still true today. What I didn't really get into is not if the gates of hell, but when the gates of Hades come against you, they shall not prevail. Is that good news for anybody in here beside me? Your enemies won't prevail. Your naysayers won't prevail. Your backstabbers won't prevail. Do I have a witness here today? Your doubters won't prevail. Your boss won't prevail. Your enemies won't prevail. And I'm so glad today that I've got a blessed assurance that as long as I stand on the rock, my enemies won't prevail. The demons won't prevail. The devil won't prevail. I've got victory. How many of you can say victory is mine? Victory is mine. I told Satan to get thee behind. Victory. Victory is mine. Peter is actually believed to be the first pope. If you look at the split of the Christian church in 1054 AD, the Western church went this way and the Eastern Orthodox church went that way, and some of the differences of the church happened. But I need to just say one more thing about this word church. This is the first time the word ecclesia is actually mentioned in the entire New Testament. Jesus himself says, I will build my church, the ecclesia. And forgive me for throwing all these words at you. I got excited when I studied Hebrew and Greek. I said, well, I didn't know that in English, because it doesn't transcribe or translate when you just read it in English. And so unless someone brings it out, you wouldn't know that the word ekklesia is the Greek word for the church. You wouldn't know that the word ek, E-K, is actually based on our transliteration in English, E-X-X. And so ek means out. Ecclesia is the fancy Greek word for the people who are gathered. And so what the word means is that ecclesia of the people who are called out. And I think about that all the time. That the church of Jesus Christ is supposed to be the people who are called out to be different than the people around them. That the word ecclesia is that there ought to be something that doesn't jive about you that jives about everybody else. That there ought to be some commentary. The chatter is going to be there. They can say, girl, you might not well go ahead and gossip around her, because she's never going to participate in the gossip. A homeboy, you might as well just leave him alone, because he's never going to go out with us clubbing at night, because he's got to get up in the morning and make his way to the church. Just leave him alone. We're not going to talk about him, because they've come to the conclusion there's something different about you. And every time I can, I want the church of Jesus Christ to understand you ought to be different. I'm not talking about what the rapper are saying on the streets. There's a song called Different. I gotta be this. I gotta be no. I want you to be saved. I want you to live sanctified. I want you to be on fire for the Holy Ghost. I want you to have no shame up in your game that you're basing it on the name of Jesus Christ. I want them to know on your job there's something different. I want them to know in your sorority there's something different. I want them to know in your fraternity there's something different. I want them to know up in the church house there's something different. Is there something different about you? Do you not mind being called out? Let me tell you who you're called out from. You're called out of darkness into the marvelous light. Did anybody ever experience darkness in their lives? But God called you out. God's got something better for you. God's got something new for you. God's got something different for you. How many of y'all want to get what God has waiting for you? I don't know about you, but I made up in my mind. You can talk about me like a dog. You can call me everything but a child of God. But I'm standing on the rock. I've been sanctified. I've been glorified. I've been called out. There's something different. And I don't mind being a part of the ecclesia, the people who don't mind being different for the Lord Jesus Christ. Come on, somebody. Do I have anybody who don't mind being different? Who don't mind giving God a praise when everybody else don't want to praise Him? Who don't mind? Open up your mouth and shout it, hallelujah, every now and again. Is there anybody in here who don't mind saying, for Christ I live, for Christ I die? Is there anybody in here who don't mind giving God the glory? Anybody don't mind saying, hallelujah, glory to you. I lift it up, God. I bless your name. Is there anybody in here who can give Him a sacrifice of praise and say, Father, I thank you for making a way out of no way in the name of Jesus? Let the church say amen. Amen. Let the church say amen again.
Amen.
And one more time for the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Everybody standing to their feet. Everybody standing to their feet. Listen, I don't know who you are. Some of you came to see a loved one get baptized today, and I praise the Lord for that. Others of you came to perhaps visit with a friend or family member just because. But if you're here and you don't have a relationship with the true and living God, understand what Peter said. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And I want anyone and everyone and someone to know today, Peter was so right. Peter was so right. Jesus is the Son of the living God. Point of fact, Jesus is God. And I hope today that someone would accept Him the way Peter, or acknowledge Him the way Peter acknowledged Him. Choir's going to sing in a moment, and I just want to ask the question, do you know who He is? Have you had personal experience with Him? Do you have your own personal testimony where you can say, Peter, I agree with you, brother. He is the Son of the living God. He is God all by Himself. I know what He's done for me. So if you can't say that, I want you to think about what it is you are saying. Are you living your life concerned about what other people say about you? Are you living your life concerned more about what you think as opposed to what God thinks? God wants to be the Lord over your life. And I believe if you allow Him to be number one, boy, will He do some things in your life. He will blow your mind if you put Him number one in your life. And so as we get ready to go now, let me get ready to extend this invitation with the clergy and the deacons and the deaconess extended out in the sanctuary. Choir is going to sing, and I want you to really be prayerful. Bow with me as we pray. Father, as we sing this song, as we extend this invitation, I pray that someone here today would understand the majesty and the centrality of your word, that they would stop and give their lives to you, God, in the name of Jesus. That there would be one who would not mind saying, I don't mind being different for the Lord. I want to be out of this situation I'm in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Father, have your way. Let the anointing break yokes, destroy bondage, and we shall be careful to give your name glory and honor. Even those who are listening on the radio, who will listen later by way of internet and intranet. I pray right now, God, that this word would speak into somebody's life that causes them to have an earthquake to shake them up, to make them understand that there's another foundation they've got to stand on. So, Father, have your way now in Jesus' name. Let the church say amen, amen, and amen. Listen, as choir, go ahead and sing, choir. Anyone here today? And if you are a believer, you can sing with the choir.
And righteousness
I dare
not trust the sweet,
But wholly lean
on Jesus' name.
On Christ the solid rock.
On Christ the solid rock I stand.
All of the ground
is sinking sand.
Anyone here today?
Anyone
here today? Come on, gentlemen, lift up.
Darkness is lovely face.
Anyone else? Anyone here?
It's unchanging.
Is God moving anyone to step out of their seats and come give us your hand and give God your heart? In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you need special prayer, step in the aisle and grab one of the brother and sister's hands. They will pray for you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you already know the Lord and you want to join the church, this is the opportunity to do that as well. If you're looking for a church home, we extend this to you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.